Ambiente, biodiversité,
sustainable consumption,
protéger,
chocolate,
nature,
βιωσιμότητα,
Afrique,
fair trade,
America Latina,
gas non-licos,
αποψήλωση,
cambio climatico,
degrado forestale,
soja,
deforestation,
durabilité environnementale,
measures against deforestation under the spotlight.
Welcome to our first episode of this Deforestation podcast. You will be wondering how we came up with such a specific topic, food production causing deforestation. Well, we came across an interesting WWF press release presenting its new report on deforestation. You'll find it in the description of this episode if you're interested. We were shocked to learn that the EU is the world's second largest importer of products from tropical deforestation. To stop this, EU institutions are working on a new regulation that should prevent any product that has contributed to destruction of nature from entering the EU market.
Exactly. And we wondered at first what the state of deforestation is and what its consequences on the planet are. This leads to the first part of this episode, where you will have the chance to listen to Mr. Jean-Louis Doucet, professor in tropical forestry in Jean Blou Agrobiotech in Belgium. Pierre met him to exchange on the topic. So Pierre, what was your impression?
Well, better to say it right away. We have no good news to share with you. The situation is concerning. But it's also the aim of our podcast to address problems and to put under the spotlight some solutions coming from various stakeholders.
In the second part of the podcast, we investigated about this upcoming EU regulation to ban from its markets all products that could have caused deforestation in the world. We informed by yourself on official website and you will hear a discussion among some of us on its main points.
So, stay with us for this passionate discussion. Please, Pierre, go ahead.
Hi everyone, my name is Pierre. I'm a young fair trade advocate. Besides that, I'm studying bioengineering in Jean Blou. Today, as we wanted to better understand what deforestation is and what is its consequences, I went to uni to interview one of my professors specialized on this thematic, Mr. Jean-Louis Doucet. He has a long-standing knowledge on forest management and agroforestry practices and works in collaboration with several stakeholders in Africa on these issues. Hello Jean-Louis, and thank you for accepting our invitation. We are really pleased to be here today and to discuss with you on the deforestation theme, which is a very current issue. Could you please, before all, present yourself in few words?
Hello Pierre, thank you for inviting me and to open the discussion on this current topic. My name is Jean-Louis Doucet, I'm a professor in tropical forestry here in Jean Blou Agrobiotech, and I teach different subjects related to the significant issue of the long-term management of tropical forests and the implementation of different practices there, in particular agroforestry.
You are working in Belgium, but also directly in the field in Africa, in particular in Democratic Republic of Congo and in Gabon. Could you tell us what you are exactly doing when you are there?
In these fields, we have different projects which aim to collaborate with different stakeholders of the forest management. They are private companies, local NGOs, sometimes producers, associations, and also research institutes as well as training institutes.
To start on our topic, could you give an overview of the health of tropical forests?
So, the health of forests today is not good. Forests are subject to significant deforestation and degradation, all of which is amplified by climate change. And we can see this quite clearly in the Amazon, where there is an increasing tree mortality which translates into increasing CO2 emissions from the forest. It is estimated that by 2030, the Amazon forests will not be a carbon sink anymore, that is to say, the carbon stored by the forests, so the carbon flow balance, will start to become zero because the amount of carbon that it fixes will be compensated by carbon emissions following an increased mortality of certain species. This phenomenon is mainly observed in the Amazon and is not yet observed in Central Africa.
Could you have some statistical data to share with us on deforestation?
Giving deforestation statistics is more complex than it sounds, because it depends on how you define the term forest. There is no unanimous definition. Each country defines it in its own way. There are statistics provided by the FAO, the United Nations organization that regularly publishes a state of the world's forests. For the FAO, a forest is defined as a plot of land of at least half a hectare with trees that gives a cover of at least 10%. Based on this FAO definition, the annual deforestation rate is currently 0.12%. This means that 0.12% of the world's forest cover is lost annually. This might not sound like much. Many people probably think that the deforestation rate is higher. However, this represents 3.3 million hectares of forest that disappear every year, which is equivalent to the surface of Belgium. This is a net deforestation, which means that it's a combination of gross deforestation and reforestation. If we look at the amount of natural forest that disappears every year, it's about 6.6 million hectares, but we replant 3.3 million hectares with artificial forests.
What are the main consequences of deforestation on a short-term and also on a long-term perspective?
It is clear that tropical forests are huge reserves of biodiversity, so of course there are consequences for global biodiversity. As I said at the beginning, there is also an increased emission of CO2 due to degradation from increased tree mortality due to climate change or simply land conversion. Converting forests into agricultural land involves burning the land. When you burn trees, when you burn a plot of land, it emits CO2 and therefore contributes to climate change. Deforestation will result in a modification of the water cycle, the erosion cycle, a loss of soil fertility, and an economic loss as well. When a forest disappears, everything it contained disappears, in terms of wood, but also potentially in terms of products that were used by local populations, either for food, fruits from the trees, or for healthcare. The bark of trees very often contains many molecules that have various medicinal properties. So the fact that the forest disappears has a combination of consequences, social consequences, environmental consequences, and also economic consequences.
If we now look at the drivers of deforestation, which of the products, including animal products, that we consume on a daily basis are causing the most deforestation on the other side of the world?
The figures are very clear if you look at the deforestation statistics. If you look at the FAO data, 90% of global deforestation is linked to agriculture. Whether it's small-scale or large-scale agriculture, both are involved, but their relative share is different on different continents. In South America, for instance, it's mainly industrial agriculture that is responsible for deforestation. The forests of South America are being converted, and not only the Amazonian forest as one might imagine, but rather in areas of wooded savanna or open forest. The forest is being converted into field crops, such as soy, which is an energy crop that can also be used to feed livestock, or the forest is being converted into pasture for extensive animal farming. In Asia, there is also a conversion to industrial agriculture, especially oil palm plantations. This is the main cause of deforestation in the forests of Southeast Asia. In Africa, the situation is different again. There is mostly small-scale agriculture, so it will be more slash-and-burn agriculture, especially in Central Africa, for self-consumption, not for exports. There is an exception in West Africa, where cocoa farming has been the cause of extensive deforestation, as in Ivory Coast. This country has lost almost all its forest since the colonial era because it has been converted to cocoa cultivation, in which very few trees have been left.
It is important to know that 26% of greenhouse gases are linked to the agricultural sector, and of these 26%, a quarter comes from direct land conversion. So there is a close link between deforestation and CO2 emissions. Which products cause the highest CO2 emission? We can take some figures in CO2 equivalent. 1 kilo of beef emits the equivalent of 60 kilos of CO2. A kilo of mutton is 24, a kilo of cheese is 21, a kilo of chocolate is 19. And then if you look at the lower values, a kilo of poultry is lower, it's only 6 kilos of CO2 equivalent. And a kilo of cereals, it's only 1 kilo of CO2 equivalent. So we can see that certain products contribute much more to these global greenhouse gas emissions. partly linked to land conversion.
You probably have heard about the new proposal of the European Union on deforestation free products. Do you think that this legislative way of taking into account deforestation is a significant step and that these measures could have a real impact on the field?
Yes, certainly. It is important that institutions like the European Union fight against imported deforestation. That means it's about products that directly create deforestation. Now, we have to define which products. We must not mistake the targets. Importing tropical woods does not have the same impact as importing soya, palm oil or livestock from Brazil. Solid impact studies are needed to quantify the environmental impact of these different products. If the European Union no longer wants tropical products, then the Asian markets will continue to demand these tropical products. So we have to be careful not to displace the problem, and we have to try to put in place a set of standards that aim to guarantee the European consumer that the products he or she uses do not cause deforestation.
In your opinion, are there other specific elements to be taken into account to build an effective response to deforestation?
As we said, the causes of deforestation vary depending on the continent. They are also linked to population growth and sometimes to the absence of multisectorial policies in the countries where deforestation is taking place. There is very often very little consultation between the different ministries, the Ministry of Forestry, the Ministry of Agriculture, sometimes with a juxtaposition of land use in some countries. It is clear that if we want to preserve what biodiversity we have left, it is essential for different countries to have a zoning plan with a clear allocation of land and clearly defined deforestation objectives by not going lower than a certain percentage of forest coverage. This requires the establishment of a coherent network of protected areas, a network of sustainably managed forest concessions, and the promotion of the most sustainable agriculture. This, I think, is really crucial. If we want to prevent the last tropical forest from being deforested in countries that are also seeking development, we must take into account an economic dimension. Our countries have also cut down all their forests. In the 18th century, there were hardly any forests left in Belgium. Everything was cut down and then replanted. So different countries are following the same strategy of deforestation and reforestation with very often exotic species. If we want countries that still have large areas of forest not to follow the path that we have followed, we have to provide economic compensation. If these countries cut down their forests, it's not for pleasure. It's for the sake of economic development, population growth, and people who need land to grow crops and feed themselves. So, if we want to limit this effect, we must inevitably provide financial compensation.
Here we are. This is our last question. How to act at our scale to fight against deforestation?
It is difficult for us to act on that. We can do it through our consumer choice, which should be based on the use of labels that will also promote a certain sustainability in the different productions. And then it goes to levels that are beyond us in terms of discussions between states. If I may say something, that's what we have to do. It's to be attentive in the choice of consumption.
Thanks a lot for this interview.
What a fascinating interview! I already knew deforestation was massive, but realizing that every year the surface of Belgium disappears, it's not a random number. It seems much more real.
Yes, you're right. I understand why now the EU feels the need to regulate products entering our markets. We can go on like this.
So it's a journey that started nearly 10 years ago with different studies linking EU consumption and deforestation. So the topic is not new, and in 2020, the Parliament asked the Commission for an ambitious legal framework to halt and reverse EU-driven deforestation. The official proposal of the Commission for an EU regulation arrived in November 2021.
Yeah, and summing it up, the aim of this new EU legislation is to fight the twin climate and biodiversity crisis and reduce EU deforestation footprint by curbing EU consumption and trade in commodities linked to deforestation and forest degradation.
Mr. Doucet, when asked about the regulation, raised the point that it is crucial to correctly select the products concerned by the future regulation, otherwise the situation can even get worse. But does the proposal already specify what is concerned?
Yes, you can read about beef, soy, palm oil, wood, cocoa, coffee, and some related products. But to be fair, this is a work in progress, I would say, because the Commission might broaden this list to other commodities in the context of upcoming reviews of the legislation. And some members of the European Parliament are already calling for the inclusion of maize or rubber.
Why these specific commodities?
The selection of these commodities was mainly based on two criteria. On one side, their level of consumption within the EU, and on the other, the impact of their production in terms of deforestation and forest degradation.
Great intention, but how does the regulation intend to work? I mean, I don't see how the EU could impede products that have caused deforestation to enter our markets.
Well, there will be a couple of criteria to respect for commodities to be able to enter the EU market. First of all, the legality criteria, which means that commodities must be produced in accordance with the relevant national laws of the country of production. And then the sustainability criteria, also known as zero deforestation criteria, according to which commodities must have been produced on land that hasn't been subject to deforestation or degradation from a certain date onwards.
So this means that after this date, if one of the products we named before caused deforestation or degradation to be cultivated, it won't access the EU, isn't it?
Yes, Erika, exactly.
And how can you check on this?
Well, a due diligence process will be compulsory. So companies will be required to make some information very clear. Product description, quantity, country of production, geolocation data, and of course proof of having operated in compliance with national laws and not being linked with deforestation.
That are some criteria we were talking about.
Yes, exactly, but that's not all. On the basis of this information, companies will have to assess the risk of products being non-compliant, and if needed, they will have to take adequate measures to address identified risks. You may wonder now, what is the aim of this due diligence process? Well, it should enable companies to guarantee that no or only an eligible risk was found, that the products they intend to place on the EU market could be linked to deforestation.
Yes, and on the other side, the Commission will assess the risk per country or regions, because some country or regions have a higher risk of deforestation than others. This evaluation system will be based, for instance, on level of deforestation and forest degradation, level of agricultural expansion, level of production of commodities covered by the regulation, existence of relevant agreements concluded with the EU tackling deforestation issues, and any existing relevant national legislation on deforestation.
It seems like it could become a useful tool to trigger effective change, but also entails some danger. It looks like a state ranking, and this doesn't seem fair to me. I mean, there's the risk to displace the problem, as the professor explained. Companies working in high-risk states could just find it easier to move their production to low-risk countries, while reinforcing environmental and social adverse impacts.
Yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be the first time. On one hand, this regulation is a key opportunity, because big companies cannot hide anymore in their supply chains. On the other, I wonder if there is the risk for small producers to be excluded from the EU market, and how this can be avoided. That could be a big challenge, actually.
Oh yes, I hadn't thought about it. We should definitely investigate further that issue.
We have learned something today. Thank you, girls, for this net chat.
Well, I personally feel very grateful to have the chance to listen to an expert, Jean-Louis Doucet, who explained us what happens at the other side of the world and why this matters to all of us.
Yeah, Eva, not to mention his reflections on the role of the EU. Without them, it would have been much more difficult for us to understand the proposal. And I really hope that the main points of the regulation are now clear to everyone.
This was just an overview. In the next episodes, we will further investigate different stakeholders and changemakers' point of views with dedicated episode in which we will interview EU consumers, producers, as well as EU policymakers. Next time, we will listen to young consumers interviewed on their choice of consumption. Stay tuned, and we are very much looking forward to bringing you along with us on this interesting journey.